VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here as usual and in the studio. And we're raring to go on this Memorial Day weekend. And this is, of course, a time where we have an extra day to have some extra fun because so many people made it happen the hard way.
Absolutely.
Never forget. That's about as much as I need to say, I think. It's beautiful out. It has been day after day after day. It just seems to never end. And the beaches are open for most activities now.
No, all activity.
All activity now, yeah. I guess, yeah. We've certainly seen a startling contrast in leadership this past few weeks.
DeSantis had an epic rant. It was great.
And he's getting noticed.
Yeah.
This boy's getting groomed for something. But
it's very possible.
Let's see. And I still can't figure out how we have a governor who, in the debates, was just flat as a pancake.
Meh. He was boring. I mean.
And then he comes out, and he turns into this dynamo.
He's done a great job.
He really has. I'm very grateful that there are people like that out there willing to do what he's willing to do. But it seems to me that about every 10 years, our elected officials start to think a little too much of themselves. And you start to hear a couple of words that we used a lot back in the 60s, those two words being civil disobedience. 10 years ago, it created the Tea Party, and now it's the Get America Open movement. And all I can say is I'm four square behind them. Enough about that. This is a financial show, although there is certainly no topic more relevant to finance than getting this country working again.
No doubt about it. And if you are wondering why the market has done so well in the past few weeks, look no further than the reopening of the economy, because it's all being driven by what is to come, not what is actually happening in terms of sales and transactions right now, but it's looking forward to a time where this economy is, I'm not going to say back to where it was, but somewhere closer to where it was than it is today.
And the big argument of the decade seems to be, will it come back as a U or a V? And since absolutely none of the experts are predicting a V-shaped recovery, I will.
That's the most likely outcome.
Exactly right.
Yeah. No, I think that the market can do a V, which it has more or less, and the U can be the economy. I don't think that that is necessarily a disconnect, because the market is forward looking.
We will have a trivia question after the first break. And it has to do with what we are told or what we're not told. If you are a Laura Ingraham watcher on Fox on the weeknights, she does a segment with Raymond Arroyo called Seen and Unseen. Mm-hmm. My trivia question today is about seen and unseen.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it.
The biggest piece of data that they won't give us right now is recoveries by state, by zip code. You can find out how many people have ever had COVID in your zip code all time, but you cannot find out how many people have recovered, how many people currently have it in your zip code. They will not release that information. And I don't know that we're the only country that does it that way, but the other countries will tell you that information and we will not. And we're supposed to be a free country. That it's ridiculous. Why won't they tell us?
I don't know. Why does Dr. Fauci all of a sudden think the worst thing that can happen to America is staying shut down when 2 days ago...
That was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have something to do with companies going bankrupt.
Good.
Pretty good-sized companies. Last night, we heard about Hertz and just got a text about that from one of our listeners. Yep. I mean, there is some serious repercussions, and we haven't even really begun to see them yet.
You're right about that.
So it's pretty interesting.
But the bottom line here, because we are what we are here, is that things are getting better, and the market understands that.
No doubt.
And it showed it this week?
With a really big reversal from last week when everything was negative. The mood was very much positive on Monday of this week. Well, there was some news about the potential vaccine. We'll see where that goes. I'm not a huge believer that we're going to see a vaccine. I find it hard to believe that we have not created a vaccine for HIV in 30 years, and we're going to do this in a year.
It just doesn't. Vaccine is Mother Nature.
It just doesn't make sense to me. But I would welcome that news. I just don't know we will see it.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Exactly.
And get what's in between, probably.
The rest of the week was kind of up and down. So it was the old one day good, one day bad, one day good. And then we ended the week on a really flat note, which to me is positive, because investors typically do not like to hold stocks over a long weekend with this much uncertainty out there.
The Dow picked up about 100 just in the last several minutes of Friday, going
ended
into
up
a three-day weekend.
Down less than 9 points.
Yeah,
so.
And it had been hanging in 100 and better all day. So I thought it was an extremely good finish going into a holiday weekend.
Yeah, and for the week then, all three indexes closed really close to each other. They were all up between 3.2% and 3.4%. The NASDAQ kind of led the way at 3.4%. The NASDAQ is now up 3.9% this year.
Yay.
And it's sitting only 5% off its February high.
Yay.
Crazy. The S&P is still down more than 8% on the year, and the Dow down a little more than 14% for the year. The S&P is off more than 12% from its February high, while the Dow is lagging. It's down still about 16% from the February high. So still not bad numbers, though. Lot less red on my little cheat sheet here this morning than
there
has
been. The breadth of the companies that are doing well is improving, too. A lot of factors, the underlying factors in the market, they're looking pretty strong, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Energy.
Even better than that was the rally in small and mid caps this week.
Yes.
Yeah. The small cap index was up more than 8%. Mid caps were up more than 7%. They outpaced the rest of the market by a pretty wide margin. That is good news. They have been underperforming for a long time, and they certainly have during this pandemic crash. And the reasons are actually good. I mean, small caps are going to be more affected by shutting down the U.S. economy because they have less international, and they're probably not as well capitalized as the bigger companies. There's just a lot of reasons why small caps would take it on the chin for this one. So the fact that they're rallying more than the market is a really good sign.
Works in the inverse, too, because as this country opens up for business again, the small caps are going to do very well.
No doubt about it. On a sector basis, healthcare was the only sector that was down this week. It's been one of the leaders throughout this, so that's not too surprising. Industrials were up more than 7%, and energy was up almost 7%. That's unusual, both of those being up as much as they are.
Yeah, oil closed over 33, which is more respectable.
Oil gained about, 14% this week, and gold fell a little bit, silver gained a little bit. Treasuries were pretty flat, and the bond market was up just a hair. So kind of everything else except for equities was more or less flat.
Yeah, it didn't feel bad. Even on Tuesday when the negative news came in and it started to crash a little bit, it didn't feel like it was anything that serious. So I just thought the whole week could go down in history as maybe the one that was slightly pivotal in people's attitudes.
Hope so.
We shall see. All right, we'll have a trivia question as soon as we get back. We'll pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, and you can call us at
905-1505.
Thank you.
Caught me off guard.
Yeah, I catch him once in a while. We are open for business. The office has reopened, and we are seeing people on a very limited basis, one at a time, trying to play our cards right, disinfecting and doing all the things that we're supposed to do. So If you've been listening to us for a while and you've been putting it off because of this, put off no longer.
Yep, we have not put up plexiglass on our conference table and probably won't.
That's probably true.
But anyway, short of that,
yes, I did sort of neglect to welcome everybody and thank our loyal listeners for always being here. And hopefully if you're new to the show, that you will stick around for a little while and see if you don't learn something. So our trivia question today is about unemployment. We know that in the past 8 weeks, 39 million and change Americans have filed for first-time unemployment claims. That would lead us all to believe that unemployment claims are humongous. Well, they are.
Yeah, that's
so
huge.
No wonder we believe it. My question is, how many people are ongoing? In other words, how many continuing claims are we paying every week?
Good
today?
Question.
Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Never
beautiful
better.
Morning.
Yes,
beautiful
yes.
morning.
If we were any better, there'd have to be three of us.
Absolutely. I am officially up $147.
Oh, my God.
Now, is that on the year, or is that from February 19th, the high?
That's from February 19th.
You're up over those highs. Wow.
Yeah, the thing was, I bought in, at the time, I was all in cash and CDs. I bought a nice CD for 2.8 a little while ago. And I called Steve. I said, I think it was actually like the second day of the big crash. And I said, the underlying power of this economy. And not, so I bought the broad market, Schwab broad market.
Yep.
Yeah. Works.
About halfway down. So I'm back over the halfway mark. I've crossed what we call the Mendoza line.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, so now, if anything that goes up is actually I'm making some profit. But, it isn't. I didn't feel as if buying the broad market that way was market timing. I was just, depending on the power of the American economy.
If you are out, the hardest thing to do is get in. And you have
right.
to make a decision at some point that you're going to place your bets again. So that's what makes it so hard.
So
from
true.
Our standpoint, especially, because if we advise somebody to get in or out, we're probably going to make a mistake. Just that simple.
No doubt about it.
And the problem becomes, you got people who are, say, down 20%. They don't want to sell. If they're smart, they don't want to sell.
Exactly.
That guarantees the loss. But then you got to have liquid. You better have some cash somewhere.
Yep. And you better have some idea what's going to bring you back to the table.
Yep.
And it's very difficult. You make a good point there, and people need to know that the biggest danger. Let me sum it up for you in one of the old market adages. Investments are less important in long-term results than the people who hold them.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
The people that make the mistakes.
That's very true.
That's right. The market does what the market does.
The market does what it does. And it didn't go to where it was. On by accident, and it'll go back to where it was, not by accident. Just give it time.
On another note, for just a moment, if you don't mind, a little divergence here.
Sure.
Because all boat dealers and all are doing the best they can to stay alive, you can now go buy a $25,000 boat for nothing down and no payments for 3 months.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Yeah, no, bad, bad. You don't want to be on the water with those people.
I see where you're going.
That is fair.
No, here's your brand new boat. You have not one penny in it. You got no skin in the game, and this is your first boat. Oh, yeah, terrific.
You have no idea what the rules are on the water.
I don't go out on these weekends. I'm sitting here on my dock. My boat is right here, and I don't go out on these weekends. I got way too much to lose.
Don't blame you.
They're your bar away from home anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, if I have a crash, whether I'm right, I'm wrong, because I'm the one with the license.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely true. Well,
all right,
stay
you
safe.
Guys have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You can go Tuesday. You too. Take all care. Right, thanks bye. For the call. That's true. Oh, I remember Memorial Day weekend when we used to go sailing. Oh,
God. Yeah, it's going to be a zoo.
Dave nailed that one, I tell you. It was awful. All right, anyway, you want to wrap up any more on the markets here?
Yeah, there was a few other things.
Good.
Brazil bounced back about 11% this week. It's still down 50% this year.
Whew, yeah.
Ouch. European
nothing
countries,
not volatile.
Yeah, European countries actually gained more than the U.S. markets this week. So Germany was up over 6%, I believe. They were all up around more or less around 5%. Good. The one weak spot was Hong Kong, and that all happened on Friday. The China announced that they are going to clamp down on some of the freedom that Hong Kong has enjoyed.
That they guaranteed for 50 years, 20-some right, years ago.
In violation of their agreement, and as if they needed another reason for the world to kind of be ticked off at them right now, they decided to do that. So
where Hong Kong ranks in GDP in the world?
I don't know, but it's
I think I heard it was 9th.
Okay.
And just look at the size of that little tiny place.
Yeah,
what goes on there is incredible. I can't blame them for wanting to control it. But that's not the deal, guys.
No, but they don't appear to care about that. So,
no.
Next week, look for the S&P to potentially make a run at its 200-day moving average, which is right around 3,000. A breakthrough that would be a really positive sign for the market. I don't expect it to happen right off, unless there's some good news this weekend surrounding the virus.
It might take a few crosses to get
there. What I think. So I would not be surprised to see some volatility around that mark, and including next week, and maybe even a little bit of a struggle for a while to get over that mark. But once it does, look out.
You should mention Target, what you just told me.
Sure. So I was wondering how online sales were going during the pandemic, and I was Googling, found this article about Target. Their digital sales last quarter climbed 141%. So they did as much as they did the previous quarter, doubled plus another 40%. That's crazy.
Not exactly suffering through the problem, is it? Of course, when you think about it, they've been allowed to operate, and they had the online presence too. And unfortunately, some of those sales are coming from smaller stores that we really wish people get back in business. So I'd like to see it spread out again.
Yeah, that's true. So in February, Target's online sales grew 33% compared with the year prior. Yeah. But by April, they jumped 282%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But yeah, good for them.
Yeah, it's great for Target. It is really coming at the expense of small local shops. And, of course, that's been the trend for quite some time. But this really is just making the gap between the big guys and the little guys that much bigger. And hopefully, by reopening, people will realize that, start going to stores and spending their money there locally. We would definitely like to see that.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how quickly this whole thing can die down. The thing that we hope for, especially here in Florida, is that the heat really does treat this the way it does with most virus situations, that the heat and humidity play an active role in kiboshing it. So maybe things will get better.
The other thing I want to talk a little bit about was housing. Mm-hmm. Housing is interesting right now. We were just talking with Angela and Howard in the break, and locally we're not seeing any price depreciation. The inventory is actually shrinking. People are definitely buying houses here in Jacksonville.
You've seen the home builders ETF recently?
Yeah, it's done quite well.
45-degree angle, but only for the last very few weeks.
No doubt about it. But so on the sales side, everything looks okay. We might be getting into a shortage situation, which is not great if you're a buyer, great if you're an owner. The chinks in the armor come when you dig a little bit deeper and you look at the loans. Existing homeowners are now missing loan payments at a rate that's substantially higher than they were before. The percentage of delinquent loans jumped from 3.5% to 6.5% in April. So it almost doubled in 1 month. And that hopefully is a temporary situation. As people get back on their feet, they get their jobs back, they make their mortgage payments, that all kind of goes away. But that is a very concerning trend, and we hope it doesn't continue.
When the government bails us out, so to speak, and sends people their $1,200, and they pay a mortgage payment, and then the very next month, guess what? There's a mortgage payment due.
Well, so I hear this argument a lot, and I somewhat disagree, because the $1,200 was a one-time deal, yes. But if you are unemployed there is a extra $600 available per week to you right now. If you can get the Florida website to work, you will eventually get that money. So there is ongoing support as well. And you can't just look at the $1,200 as your only help through this time.
I agree, but there's an awful lot of people out there that have been affected by the lack of working websites. And the, if you call the state or the county or whatever, you're not going to get an answer in all likelihood.
No.
They're just overwhelmed, and I'm not really blaming them. You wouldn't staff up a department for this expectation.
No.
Or people would call you crazy, and they'd be right.
Yeah, and plus the cost in a normal situation would just be, it'd be wasting money. Like, we'd be like New York.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why New York should have it, and they don't either. But that's another story altogether. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to tell you a little bit of, you ready for this? Good tax news? How about that? Don't go anywhere. This is the Bandley Financial Hour. Coming right back. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still out there. We have had about 39 million new unemployment claims over the past 8 weeks or so. And I want to know how many people have been collecting ongoing unemployment benefits to the nearest million people. All right. Good tax news. Maybe the second time I've said that today, but it's probably the second time in 10 years, too.
Well, no, we did in 2017 that was...
All right, we'll just consider it rare then. There is a provision that I first learned about yesterday. Just shopping around for topics of interest, I came across this thing, and I follow this stuff pretty carefully, as you might expect, because I feel like it's our job to be familiar with what's going on. And this one hit me, and I said, why don't I know that? So I did some digging. This year, we have a provision that actually it came from the CARES Act, and it has to do with charitable deductions. You probably know that since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, the one of the objectives of that law was to reduce the number of people who itemized deductions, and they did so by taking some of them away. But they also raised substantially the standard deduction amount, and it has worked. I think, Adam, you stopped itemizing, right?
Yeah, I don't even bother.
And I was, until this year, an itemizer, but I'm not anymore.
Yeah, it's just the amount of time and effort extra to track all of that.
Little or not.
And, yeah, and then even if you go over, it's not going to be by a substantial amount, and so the tax savings is not worth my time in my calculation.
Well, as most things in life, there are some unintended consequences of things that are done on a grand scale, and especially when it involves taxes. And one of them is the world of charitable contributions. Going back a little bit, in the world before the TCJA, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, charitable contributions were encouraged by the tax law. Because the charitably minded taxpayer would give money to a qualified charity, and Uncle Sam would offset that amount by the marginal tax rate of the taxpayer. Now, that was usable up to 60% of your taxable income. So if you went through your whole tax form and prepared the whole thing as if you were ready to send it in, but took one more thing, whatever that taxable income number was before your charitable contributions, you could give money up to 60% of that amount and reduce your taxable income for the year by that amount. And that was thought, it's always been thought that a lot of the American generosity was encouraged by the tax code, and I think that's probably true.
Oh, but it was definitely encouraged.
Yeah, it wasn't the reason. And now, don't expect Congress to understand this, but back when tax rates were slashed in the Reagan administration, one of the biggest worries from most of the people was that we're going to just reduce the charitable contributions nationwide and all the charities are going to be hurting. Well, as it turned out, when you go from whatever it was, 50, 60, I don't even remember back then, down to 28%, people had this funny thing happened to them. They had money in their pocket. And what do Americans do when they have money in their pocket? Well, they get really generous. And charitable contributions went up, defying most expectations, but not really all that surprising if you understand people and such. But you know, here we are up to 2017 now, and the same worry applies. Well, if you take all of those people off the itemizing rolls and give them the standard deduction, it's going to discourage charitable contributions. I have no numbers on that. I have absolutely no way to tell you if it's true or not. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you there's an interesting provision for 2020 that I've never seen before. Every tax return, now, and that can be single or joint, and I'll get into that in a minute. Every tax return is allowed a $300 charitable contribution deduction above the line. For those of you who understand the tax code, what that means is it reduces your adjusted gross income. For those of you not familiar with it, it means exactly the same thing. You do not have to itemize your deductions to reduce your overall income for taxes by up to $300. Now, that was the way it's written in the CARES Act, and there is a school of thought out there that says that they're probably going to make that $300 per taxpayer, so it would be $600 for a joint. Time out for a moment to follow the rules. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Not much. I'm just glad that we have a governor that's very attentive to relaxing whatever rules he can to get people out there socializing within reason, and especially small businesses, getting them back to work. I would love to see Barnes & Noble and some of the bookstores and the libraries get back in circulation, but...
We agree with you.
Absolutely agreed. And yeah. He is a breath of fresh air, isn't he?
It definitely is, definitely.
So, especially compared to some of the more restrictive states like California and Michigan.
You got to believe some of this stuff is going to blow up in their faces, don't you?
It has to. It has to.
Yeah. I hope we're not sheeple enough to just go along with it.
There's a lot of conservative radio hosts that have been using that word frequently about sheeples, and I have to agree with it. And my former state and city, New York City, that governor and mayor, de Blasio and Cuomo, a little bit too out there for me, not like in the past.
Welcome to Florida.
You know, Mike, the only difference, the reason I didn't single out New York was that at least they actually had a problem. I mean,
that part is true.
Yeah, they really had the worst. They were the epicenter of the outbreak and in the United States, and I mean they had a real issue. So I give them a little more leeway on being conservative about opening back up.
The problem with a lot of these places, though, like New York, it's all downstate, not upstate.
So they do
Michigan,
need to,
same thing.
Yeah, they do need to separate out New York City from the upstate areas, but it's still at least they are dealing with it. California has about the same stats as Florida, and they're saying they're going to lock down until there's a cure.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
I agree with you, but you know, there was some moves made in some of these states. Like that governor in Michigan who didn't allow older people to go to their second homes out in the woods in northern Michigan. I thought that was ridiculous. Or de Blasio, who's going to actually have the police department yank people out of the water in Coney Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more importantly, very quickly, it's documented that he made the wrong move, Governor Cuomo, by allowing virus-infected people go back into the most vulnerable population in the nursing homes, and he's taken a lot of flack for that one.
Yeah, he's blaming Trump's CDC for it, though.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So
sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems that the Democratic governor, I have to say that, not to be partisan, but a fact is a fact. It seems that the Democratic governors, when this virus occurred, seemed to lock down, forget about the Constitution in a lot of aspects, and, you know, just restrict people way beyond what was necessary.
Well, I want to correct you on one little thing. Don't apologize for being a partisan. Not around us.
Okay.
Do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Yeah. Could you just repeat the question?
Sure. How many million people How many million people are currently on the unemployment, meaning they're collecting every week now, ongoing claims?
Every week? I'm going to venture a guess that it's 36.1 million.
You are too high.
Okay.
Interesting, isn't it?
All right.
I'm glad you picked that, though, because it shows what I'm trying to show, that that's too high. So we appreciate it. Thanks. Okay. You have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You guys do the same and keep up the great work you do.
Thanks so much. Okay. I've got a few minutes here. A few seconds. All right. This year, and there's going to be more of this right after the break, but every single person who files a tax return, and I use person as a filing jointly at this point, the first $300 that you give to qualified charities, do it from your personal account. Even if you're accustomed to using your IRAs or something like that, make sure no matter what you do, and if you've been on the margin, whether you want to give some money to anybody at any time, make sure that $300 is to a qualified charity and out of a personal account, and it will actually reduce your gross income, your taxable income, your adjusted gross income. In other words, it's going to put money in your pocket.
And for now, this year only, though.
There's even more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break, and I'll tell you the rest. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still out there, but first, this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And right on the side of the truck, I think it says essential worker. At my house, he is.
Yep, no doubt about it.
He's probably doing that right now. Who knows? Okay, the trivia question. Although 39 million plus people have filed for new unemployment claims in the past 8 weeks, less than that are collecting ongoing, which means simply that some of them went back to work. We know the number is under 36 million, and that's the question. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Adam. I'm going to take a shot.
Do.
I'm going to say the ongoing would be 12.2 million.
That's a very fine guess, but it's a little bit low.
Have a good bracket now, though.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
It's still bad out there, as I said. It's just not as bad as it might appear
on the surface. Right.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Got another one coming in too, I think, but I don't have a name yet, so we'll see. Oh, we do. Good morning, Bosco.
Yes, I wanted to speak to it's kind of a quasi financial scenario here that happened here currently in the news, and it kind of dovetails into the unemployment thing, monies that need to be doled out. And it was the billions of dollars that was confiscated by the Nigerians this weekend. And Washington State doesn't know how it happened.
I am unaware.
I did not hear about this. What can you give us a brief summary?
Well, apparently there was a over $2 billion that was siphoned off without Gov, Big Brother, knowing that it happened. And by the time it went into the, however, the monies are hit internationally, you know, to bank accounts, it was gone.
Really?
It was literally gone.
So are you telling us the government got scammed by a Nigerian prince email?
Exactly.
Somebody had to say it.
Exactly, for billions of dollars, you know, and this was all money going to the unemployment system.
Weird.
And they think that it... how it went down, you know, because everybody's got to have a Social Security number, et cetera, et cetera. The thought being that when Equifax...
The breach, yes.
Went down, all of that vital information that is needed for unemployment, Social Security, et cetera, was utilized there to... Yeah.
Interesting.
As we always tell people, if we don't know anything about it,
we'll
report next week.
Yeah, I will get on that, and if I can find any reliable information about it, I will have a story for you next week.
Well, excellent. I listen to you quite often, and
Thank you.
Have to dig for your for your phone number, but I really, really enjoy your program. So keep it up. And, yes, next week. We
Thank
got a date.
You. Sounds good. Much. Thanks a lot.
We appreciate the call. Good morning, Pat.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm hunky-dory fine.
Yeah, this is our favorite estimator and guesser.
Yes, and here's another guess.
Okay.
$25 million.
Ooh, just a little high.
Getting closer.
You're bracketing very well, though.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
So, wrap this up, and then that caller was the one that texted me and had a question about Hertz. So I wanted to talk about that.
I want to wrap this up. What if I told you you could pay zero income tax this year? I read it all over the internet over and over and over, and every time you dig into it, some kind of a stupid scam. I am telling you the truth. One time only in the year 2020, and of course, this is not going to apply to that many people, but I've described how you could reduce your taxable income by up to 60% normally by using charitable contributions. In the year 2020, if you're feeling charitably minded and happen to have the money sitting around, you are allowed to write off 100% of your taxable income for a charitable deduction to a qualified charity. If you want to know what a qualified charity is, look it up in IRS publication 590. But this time, you can get it. So, and I'll report a little more next week. I'm not sure if non-cash donations apply to either or of these, but I will find out. IRS has not clarified some of the things in here yet. And then my final comment on this is, it is such a good idea that I am hoping it becomes codified into the system. It'll probably get renewed at least once, and hopefully it'll become part of tax lore forever, where you get that $300, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, I could even make an argument for going a little bit higher.
I could, too. But anyway, just so you know, whatever charity money you're going to give this year, be sure to give the first $300 from a personal account, document it well, and make sure that you get receipts for anything over $50. And you'll save yourself. It isn't a whole bunch of money. It's more the principle of the thing. Pay the least amount of taxes that you actually owe, and you win.
That is correct. Yeah. So we did get, as I mentioned, got a text from a listener wanting to know how a company like Hertz could file for bankruptcy, or what led them to file for bankruptcy during this pandemic.
The $1 billion loss didn't help.
Well, okay. So there's a lot there. To be honest, I haven't researched this specific situation, but just knowing what I know about bankruptcy, there is a lot of things that could lead to that. One of them would be that your company was not capitalized very well going into this, or your profit margins were too thin, or you weren't making any money, or you weren't operating very well. There's a whole host of reasons, or you were looking for an excuse to do a reorg anyway to get rid of your crushing debt that you took out. There's so many possibilities.
That one smells interesting.
Yeah, it really does, because I on its surface, you wouldn't think that 2 months of no sales could lead a company of that size to bankruptcy unless they really wanted to go bankrupt. And the benefits of bankruptcy are that they get to continue to operate during the bankruptcy. They get to reorganize their debts, get rid of some debts, come out of bankruptcy owing less money, being theoretically leaner and more profitable and able to continue as an ongoing concern. So there's a lot of reasons that it would make sense if you hadn't run things right going into this, this would be a good excuse to do that.
Let's talk about your banks, too, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a major amount of money loaned to you from a big bank, and the big bank looks at what has become a disaster in your day-to-day business, do you think they might have any propensity to call your loan?
It very possibly.
They are such feeling wonderful people normally. I could hardly.
Right.
Well, they'll lend anybody money as long as you don't need it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I kind of think, I'm not sure which article of bankruptcy they filed, but
it's basically a reorg.
Okay. Yeah, they're looking for creditor protection while they reorganize, downsize in their case.
Yep.
How long is it going to be before a company like Hertz goes back to the size they were? Wow.
It could be a while.
Yeah. They might have to draft OJ and do commercials again.
But
you got to be old to understand that one.
The thing is, they have there were other ways out of this. Potentially, they could have sold off that fleet that or parts of their fleet. They could close locations. They could cut back on staff, and they could all take pay cuts. I mean, there's so many ways to cut expenses, but this one must have been either severe enough that cutting expenses would not have gotten them out of the hole, or maybe they did get a big loan called in. I don't know the specifics of the situation, but this is not the last of the recognized names that you will see going bankrupt because of this.
No, and it's not one that I believe, this is speculative, but it's not one that I believe is likely to go away forever. It should probably come back.
No, they'll be back.
I mean, the brand is there.
Yeah, for sure.
Been for a long time.
But I would suspect that you'll see a few more, even in the travel-related industry, it's going to get hit hard. People aren't going to feel comfortable traveling for a while. Not at the level that they were.
Who last drove that car?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you're seeing on the Google searches and such, you're seeing so many hits on car travel because you can stay in your own car.
Yep.
I think you're going to have a trend here that might last quite a while. All right, Social Security recipients, get ready to bite the bullet again. They're estimating the numbers for next year's Social Security increase, and it's a joke.
Zero?
0.1, maybe.
Yeah.
They're not saying for sure.
What was the trivia answer?
20.7%. Or a million,
no, million,
excuse me.
Yeah.
20.7 million people are filing ongoing. Which tells me if 40 go in and you've still got 20 and people are still coming out, people are returning to the workforce in about double the numbers that they're coming out of it right now. And I have a word for that. It's called recovery.
Yep, that will continue to go down. That's my guess.
Yep, so watch it. But they won't tell you in the media, I promise you, because it doesn't fit the narrative. See you next week.